In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, September 4th, 2015 AD. This is The World View. In 5 minutes, I'm Adam McManus. This may be the first Christian to be jailed for faith reasons in the history of this nation. Kim Davis, a Kentucky County clerk, was sent to jail by a federal judge yesterday for refusing to issue a marriage license to a homosexual couple. District Judge David Bunning ordered Davis into custody, quote, until she complies, unquote, with a court order. Pastor and director of DefendingMarriage.com, Scott Brown, told The World View this is only the beginning of persecution in this country.
What Kim has done in going to prison is that she's really blessed the church by proclaiming what is true and saying that she cannot move from what ought to be unmovable. And I praise God for her. At the same time, I think we ought to be considering the implications of that for people who serve in different capacities, in companies, in various government positions, and particularly in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the pastors in America need to preach and uphold these things with all of their hearts like they never have had to before.
Presidential candidates Mike Huckabee, Bobby Jindal, and Rand Paul have all issued statements supporting the clerk. Davis has held out against the Supreme Court Obergefell decision for over 2 months, gaining significant national prominence. They said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, there are certain Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have not regarded you, O king. They do not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Daniel 2:12. In the political world, it's clear that Americans are not happy with establishment candidates. Donald Trump is well ahead of the pack for the Republican presidential nomination at 30%. Dr. Ben Carson comes in second at 18%. And Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush are pretty far behind. Also, Trump announced that he had signed a loyalty pledge with the GOP, and he will not jump ship for a third-party run. Charisma News reports that PCA minister Tullian Chevedjian is back in the church business. After his resignation from Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church for marital infidelity reasons, he was appointed Director of Ministry Development for Willow Creek PCA in Central Florida. 1 Timothy 3 reminds us, an overseer in the church must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded and self-controlled. Government medical care has proven disastrous for American veterans. More than 300,000 vets probably died while they were waiting for health care, according to a report from the Inspector General for the Department of Veterans Affairs. Insult to injury, unconscionable. That's what Representative Diane Black called the Obama administration's decision to provide another $1 million grant to Planned Parenthood. The purported reason for the grant was for the promotion of Obamacare. This follows the nationwide scandal involving Planned Parenthood's trafficking in baby lungs and livers. But God will spare the poor and the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in His sight. Psalm 72:12-14. The Wall Street Journal has reported sightings of Chinese military ships in the Bering Sea. U.S. officials believe the timing coordinates with the president's visit to the state. First Baptist Church of Villarrica, Florida, posted a video on YouTube of a mass baptism of a football coach and a number of high school players just prior to a practice. And that's got the school district up in arms. Now they're conducting, quote, an investigation, unquote. Christian actor Dean Jones is with the Lord. Best known for his roles in Disney films like The Love Bug and That Darn Cat, Jones lived a life of debauchery in Hollywood until he almost died in a drunk driving accident. It was at that point, he said, he cried out to God, saying, quote, I've done everything in this world I thought would make me happy, and it does not work. I have everything, and I have nothing. I have no choice but to believe, unquote. Dean Jones is dead at 84 years old. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Friday, September 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today, a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Also a pastor of a church out in Elizabeth. And Bill Jack, worldview guru, also in the studio with me. We talk about various worldview issues and the news and the bias in the news. I wish more and more people understood their worldview first and then were able to see through the propaganda and understand exactly what is happening to them, how they're being manipulated by the propaganda. You teach that in Worldview Academy, don't you?
Yes.
Part of the curriculum that the kids go through each and every year. But here is an interesting story, an important story, a really sad story of the shooting in Virginia. A very shocking story. Two journalists shot by a black homosexual, something that's not mentioned, actually. This man was shooting because, and this was the reason that he gave.
Yeah.
In his documents, he was very clear that he was shooting because he felt discriminated against for his African-American heritage and his homosexuality both.
That was never reported.
It's not reported, right. They're not going to report that element of it. And that's because the media has a very important agenda, and they're very self-aware of their agenda. However, most people listening to the news are not as aware of the agenda. Now, certainly this was a terrible, terrible act of violence. A violation of the Sixth Commandment, and an illustration of the hearts of men, that there's just much, much evil. It's not just homosexuality, it's also murder. Not just a violation of the Seventh Commandment that lurks in the hearts of men, but also the Sixth Commandment as well. So we ought to be careful that we don't just condemn a single commandment. There are other commandments here to take a look at. We're going to talk about that in the next section of the program as well. But again, back to this. If it was Josh Duggar who was the shooter, he would be known as the white evangelical.
Yes.
A white evangelical
racist.
Racist evangelical shot two journalists in Virginia yesterday. That's the way it would be framed by the media. If it was a police officer, we would know that it was a white police officer.
Yes.
If it was a black police officer, we wouldn't know.
No.
But if it was a white police officer, we would know.
Who gunned down the victim.
Right. If it was a black homosexual, he would be referred to as a disturbed shooter.
Yes.
The disturbed man.
Yes. A victim.
Perhaps a victim. Right. Okay, so that's the way it's going to go. Now, the reason for that is because the media seems to be big on race wars. I'm not sure exactly why, but I guess it's partially because whenever there's a fight going on, the media appreciates that, and they make a lot of hay whenever there's a race war going on. So they play off of it, and they get perhaps more readers if there's more violence happening. So that may be one reason why the media is so excited about race wars, and there is a important segment of the media that is doing its best to fan the flames of race wars in America. Now, they're not the only ones. There are other even pastors that have, liberal pastors that have encouraged that as well. But they also want to stir up emotions against evangelicals. They want to stir up emotions against anybody who believes in America. And by the way, there was a Jewish study that came out just a couple of months ago indicating that evangelicals are the most hated class in America. Now, Bill, I think we need to understand this, that whatever is going on in the media is working. The propaganda that is pressed, you know, the whole Josh Duggar scandal that just continues to repeat and repeat and repeat, is a way in which the left is working very hard to be sure that there are lots and lots of animus in this country against any evangelical that still stands on the word of God. Even those evangelicals that stand consistently on the word of God. Obviously, Josh Duggar did not confess his hypocrisy, and true Christians do confess their hypocrisies, and they don't wait until Ashley Madison reveals it. They confess before Ashley Madison reveals the real names. True Christians confess their hypocrisy and stand consistently to the word of God and repent themselves on the basis of the word of God, and that is what the apostate nation we used to call America finds so reprehensible. That's the thing they hate. They cannot stand the word of God condemning their consciences. And they have been there, done that, burned 28 t-shirts, and they don't want anything to do with a biblical Christian anymore. That's why this Jewish university study found that the most hated class in America are evangelicals. Prepare for persecution, my friends. And that's why the Religious Liberties Conference we have put on in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6th and 7th. Very important to prepare ourselves for the rising persecution that is inevitably coming, friends. Study after study, expert after expert, conservative speaker after conservative speaker, evangelical leader after evangelical leader across this nation is giving you the heads up. It's time to prepare for that major pushback against the Christian faith in this country. Come to the Persecution Conference. I'm sorry, the Religious Liberties Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6th and 7th. That wasn't just a Freudian slip. And you can register at freedom2015.org. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future, hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, also Bill Jack. And Bill, today on the program, I want to talk about how churches tend to be selective on how they take the Word of God and the laws of God and apply them. They find the ones they like, and then they find the ones they don't like, and they tend to be very selective, and when that happens, Bill, I think it's another form of autonomy. It's, again, man picking and choosing, sort of like Thomas Jefferson did with his Bible.
Right.
The same thing's happening across the board with various religious sects and Christian sects, including the Roman Catholic Church. And let me give you an example of this. We've talked about this before, but here's an AP article that refers to the Pope and the President of the United States. They're coming back together September 23rd, evidently. And this time the focus shifts to, quote, shared goals with Obama as the papal visit nears. So the focus is shifting between the Vatican and the President, the White House, to discuss certain shared goals. Shared goals, of course, Marxism. That's a done deal.
Yeah.
Okay, we know that. No question about it. Apparently, there was no traction on the last meeting, and that was part of the problem. When the President of the United States visited Francis earlier last year, Obama contradicted the official Vatican account of their meeting by saying they hadn't discussed social issues in any detail. Papal aides insisted the two leaders indeed discussed religious freedom, life, and conscientious objection, buzzwords for abortion, birth control, and parts of Obama's health care law. Well, evidently, the Pope has very little influence on these rulers when it comes to issues like religious freedom, homosexuality, and abortion. The President of the United States just ignores the Pope. Now, this is, of course, the way that the state has operated since roughly 1700. The church had a huge influence upon the state in the 1400s and 1500s. Huge amount. Huge amount. They were excommunicating state officials right and left. And so this church had a little bit of influence. But that pretty much went out the window by the time of the French Revolution in the 1700s. The Pope has become pretty much irrelevant. I'm sorry.
He's become mostly a puppet.
Yes.
So the Pope is a puppet.
He has, yeah. But here's the point. He does have influence when it comes to the issue of Marxism. Here's a quote again. Pope Francis has breathed new life into what I believe is the central mission of our faith, Catholic social doctrine. Okay, that's a quote from the AP story. And that's an expert that they quote in the story. The Pope has breathed new life into what this guy believes to be the central mission of the faith, Catholic social doctrine. And what he's referring to is that the Pope has a strong affinity to the redistribution of the wealth. That is class envy, Marxism. Everywhere he goes, he talks about this issue, as does Biden. And by the way, that was a quote from Joe Biden. I'm sorry. Joe Biden's excited about the Pope coming because the Pope has breathed new life into the central mission of our faith, the Catholic social doctrine. The doctrine relating to the redistribution of the wealth with Biden is very big on. So the Pope has no real influence upon these rulers when it comes to issues like homosexuality and abortion, because homosexuality and abortion are evil. When it comes to things that would be good and would condemn evil, they're not listening. But when it comes to the evil things they're practicing, and that's the redistribution of the wealth, they are listening. That's the mark of good leaders or evil leaders. Pope Francis has called for the legitimate redistribution of the wealth, and I find that to be extremely dangerous language. Legitimate redistribution of the wealth can be interpreted any which way but loose. And here is President Obama. This is why Pope Francis and President Obama will get along very well, at least according to Biden in this article I just read from AP News. President Obama in 2001 was interviewed on WBEZ FM radio in Chicago, Illinois. And Obama said, this is a quote from President Obama in 2001 on WBEZ radio, "The Supreme Court never ventured into the redistribution of the wealth. It didn't break free from the essential constraints that were placed by the founding fathers in the Constitution, and we still suffer from that." Let me read that one more time.
Yeah, do please.
This is the President of the United States. "The Supreme Court never ventured into the redistribution of the wealth. It didn't break free from the essential constraints that were placed by the founding fathers in the Constitution, and we still suffer from that."
So he's equating capitalism with slavery.
That's right. And he's also saying that the founders of this nation didn't understand the issue of the redistribution of the wealth. They should have included it in the Constitution of the United States. Marxism is that basic to his worldview.
Yep.
It's that basic. It should be a very basic tenet of the United States of America. And that's the kind of language that Pope Francis is using as well when he calls for the legitimate redistribution of the wealth. The problem here is that the Pope seems to be big on the sixth and seventh commandments at points. Now, he doesn't, he's actually used very weak language when it comes to homosexuality, such that the majority of Catholics are going with homosexual marriage in this country. A recent Public Religion Research Institute poll found that 60% of Catholics go for the gay agenda, for the neuronic agenda. They love homosexual marriage. That's 60% of Catholics compared to 55% of Americans. So Catholics are some of the worst, some of the most wicked voters that stand for the most wicked agenda in the history of mankind in this country, 60% of them. And a huge percentage of them are confused as to whether the Pope would support the neuronic agenda or not. So this is the trumpet giving an uncertain sound. This is a lack of religious, spiritual leadership on the part of the Pope. And so there's mass confusion, evidently, amongst the Catholics, the majority of whom support homosexual marriage. In fact, there's more Catholics supporting homosexual marriage, more Catholics going for the violation of the seventh commandment than the rest of the population in America. A higher percentage of Catholics go for homosexual marriage than do the rest of the population in America. And a huge percentage still believe the Pope would approve of the homosexual marriage ruling made by the Supreme Court of the United States. So all of that said, Bill, here's my point. My point is that the Pope seems to be big on the Sixth Commandment. We think he's against abortion. The Pope seems to be kind of okay with the Seventh Commandment. He's against homosexuality and homosexual marriage, we think. But he seems to be big on the redistribution of the wealth and the violation of the 10th commandment, that is, thou shalt not covet, and the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal, which established private property ownership and does not permit the redistribution of the wealth on the part of governments.
That's exactly what he's doing. He's stealing from people to give to those who he wants to. And that's the problem, because he sees that we need to take care of the poor. And as a result, he turns to government rather than to individuals. And he relies on government to take care of those who are in need rather than relying on the basic unit of family first, mm-hmm. church second. Mm-hmm. And government is not even on the list of those who are to take care of those who are in need.
You're referring to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and all the way through the Old Testament. Hey, the 3.33% poor tithe, the edges of the fields. These are voluntary, relational, local, accountable forms of charity, friends. One more time, voluntary, local, relational, accountable forms of charity, not the kind that rots out the inner cities and creates Marxist revolutions, a hell on earth, which is the record of Marxism since the 20th century, and the destruction, the utter destruction of the inner city, 75% of these kids born outside of wedlock because fathers have been derelevantized by FDR and LBJ and the Great Society, the Great Big Mistake Society program that has been supported by Democrats and largely Republicans as well. What does the Word of God have to say about this? The rich shall not give more. The poor shall not give less than the half shekel when it comes to public projects. That's Exodus 30:15. Exodus 23:3, neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. That is, you don't give the poor man an extra measure of support. You don't even provide him an extra lawyer. You don't provide him anything. You don't provide him anything. Rather, you as a judge will determine the facts of the case, and you will determine whether or not he violated the law or somebody else violated the law, but you're not going to give the poor man any benefit in his cause. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Doesn't matter if he's got a bigger house than you. Doesn't matter if he has more oxen or donkeys than you. You shall not covet his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. The Apostle Paul in Acts 20:33 said, I've coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who are with me. Ergo, no redistribution of the wealth. When it comes to slavery, which was the most impoverished condition of the day, Paul recommended no revolution, no political revolution. He did not recommend the slaves run away. He said, be content unless you have the opportunity, unless you're given the opportunity to gain your freedom. 1 Corinthians 7:21, were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. If you have the opportunity, go for it. But in Philemon, 1 Corinthians 7, etc., the Word of God does not require revolution or the use of the state or force by the hand of the state to redistribute the wealth or to set the captives free. Friends, you got to understand that Karl Marx fixated on money. This is the basic problem. He fixated on money. The ultimate value by which everything and everybody is measured was money. And that's why people like the Pope get behind the redistribution of the wealth. That's the fundamental reason. These are the things after which the Gentiles seek. But for you, seek not what you shall wear, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. Seek rather the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That is, God is a factor. It's not the force of the state that's the factor, the ultimate factor in creating social justice and the equitable distribution of the wealth. Friends, that's so unbiblical. The whole concept of the 8th commandment and the 10th commandment, that we're not to covet a rich man's goods, is based in the assumption that there will be an inequity, there will be a lack of equality in wealth. Now, the lack of equality in wealth does not mean a lack of equality in terms of how we do justice, whether or not we countenance a poor man in his cause. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not there's the essential value of person A is any greater than the essential value of person B. All we're saying is wealth does not establish the essential value, and wealth ought to be respected and not envied, not coveted, and certainly not redistributed by the force of the state.
And what's happened is that the Pope has called for redistribution of wealth. Stephen Schneck, who runs the Catholic Politics Institute at Catholic University of America, said this, and this is chilling. In a way, Pope Francis has become the conscience for this age of the world. When President Obama came to office, he too had that aura for at least the first couple of years. But Pope Francis' message is moral and religious. He's not going to be talking about legislation, end quote. And then it goes on in this article, it goes on to talk about how Pope Francis was instrumental in persuading President Obama to open relations with Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, I thought he wasn't going to be involved in legislation.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to Marxism or the redistribution of the wealth in Cuba, known for Marxism probably more than any country around the world, it seems the Pope is more or less on board with that. Also, here's another story that came out recently. Dozens of Catholic colleges have long-standing relationships with Planned Parenthood, according to an extensive study conducted by the Cardinal Newman Society. So again, could the Pope set the agenda, set a direction? He doesn't. And thus, the Catholic Church is patently unbiblical in so many of its institutions. in so many of its teachings, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. Now, it is true that we find Presbyterians, Baptists, supporting Planned Parenthood. Think of people like Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton.
Right.
Mennonites can be super liberal. There's a Mennonite church down here in Denver that's, I think, ordaining transvestites and homosexuals. And yet there's Mennonites like the Odd Guards we just interviewed out in Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa. A beautiful couple who's standing strong on this issue of homosexual marriage, and they were willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And, you know, so you have Baptists, super liberal like Jimmy Carter, or conservatives like Votie Baucham. You have super liberal Presbyterians. In fact, the PCUSA is one of the worst denominations in the world. Or super conservative Presbyterians like R.C. Sproul Jr. You know, it's interesting how apostasy affects every denomination. Isn't that interesting? How faith stays strong or it collapses on you in every denomination. It's really interesting. It doesn't always matter how much water is used in a baptism. There are those who are very, very liberal on the left side over here in the Baptist camp. Then there are those in the Presbyterian camp that are very left or very right. So it's interesting how faith is sustained across the board, but at the same time, we have all these various aspects of apostasy that we're seeing within these various denominations.
And that's why we need to check out everything that people say against the Word of God, from the Pope to the local pastor, from the radio host to your best bud. You need to check out, what does Scripture say?
Sure.
And that's a question that you need to ask people. A good friend of mine was led to the Lord by his wife, his future wife, and then she discipled him by asking a question. Whenever he'd say something, she'd say, "Can you show me where that is in Scripture?" And it forced him to go back to Scripture to understand what Scripture said in light of what he was saying, and it transformed his thinking. Mm-hmm. He was reformed in his thinking by the Word of God, simply by his future wife asking him, "Can you show me where that is in the Word of God?"
And that's why we come back to these verses all the time when it comes to these agendas that have been so destructive in the world today. And ultimately, it's God's Word that sets us straight, my friends. The Mormon Church, by the way, has also decided not to separate from the Boy Scouts after the National Board approved of homosexuality for the leadership among the troops. The decision was top level. It was the Council of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Well, my friends, as we wrap up this edition of the radio program, I think the lesson we need to take from this is from Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. "Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out from her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues.'" And that pretty much, I think, summarizes what Christians need to do, especially as the world is more and more seeking the lusts of the flesh, and it's seeping into the Boy Scouts and just about every other institution. We as Christians are called upon to come out from among them and be separate. There's both the sin of it and the evil of it, the curse of it, and we as Christians have the opportunity to walk away from this and to repent of these things, and certainly raise our kids in a different scenario. And more and more, we're seeing that these divisions are happening within the denominations and between denominations. And that's just the way it's going to be, I think, till the end. But he that endures to the end shall be saved, as Jesus said in Revelation 2 and 3. So keep the faith, be strong in the faith, stay in the Word of God, be sure that you're rooted in the Word, as Bill said. And may God bless you as you stay on your knees and trust in Christ all the way over the river. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.